Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Simone's asking nicely. You see how polite he is? Look at that. Will you all be so kind and hit that like button down there?
They say you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar, DK. So I like to use a little honey every once in a while. Is that all right with you?
I could not complain about that. I'm probably more of the opposite approach type to that one, and I'm sure that I could learn from that and benefit from it. Are we ready for some bell? We got a bell going over there?
Yeah, we got a bell, man. While we hit this bell and take a quick break, man, y'all hit that like button and tell a friend and send it, share it, like it, all those good things. All right, let's start the show because it might start with a smile.
All right, this is the Ramon Foster Show, starring the one, the only Ramon Foster. Isn't it amazing that that would happen, that it would be the Ramon Foster Show, but that it would also star Ramon Foster, 11-year starting guard in the National Football League. All 11 of those for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I do believe he's got something he wants to share regarding Brandon Ayuk.
I just quote tweeted his original tweet a second ago, man, where he said something. Brandon Ayuk, who's at on X or Twitter, THE2ERA, the two era is what he's under. And he added Coach Tomlin earlier. And all this means nothing if nothing happens. I think he got franchise tag, so let's just say that, okay? But he added Coach Tomlin as a player who doesn't tweet a whole lot and said, they saying we twins. What you think about that? Or what you think? And he put a side eye on it. Here's the original tweet right there on his account. It's blurry as heck. And they do somewhat. So there's this picture circulating around, and I quote tweeted it at my new Twitter account, at the Ramon Foster, and they have similarities. So if you also
there's something there.
Hey, it ain't even me saying all black people look alike, okay? This one is legitimately, he looked like Omar Epps, and he also looked like Brandon Ayuk. This is the situation right now, okay? We got to be able to laugh a little bit on this, on his show. Yes.
All of a sudden, I'm the Mike or the Colin Jost. I'm not the one saying it, and you're not the one writing my script.
We don't have a script. Yes, Dolly, we're clowns today, okay? But what I'm saying is this, real quick before you start up, Deontay is gone. We know that. It's George's show, but George will, and you said it yesterday. George don't need a Robin. He probably needs a Batman to be his Batman of a Batman himself, right? I'm not sure what Brandon Ayuk's situation is. I know he's been franchise tagged, so you got to give up something to get him, right? And a contract is probably going to have to come with it also. But if you're saying what do players think of your coach, you got a guy who's under contract with another team that's flirting with your coach that wants to play with him. Very fascinating situation right there. And of course, with Deontay gone, it opens the door. DK is still cut off by my comment right there. Go ahead, floor is yours, DK.
I just feel like this position for the Steelers. And who's been talking about – who's the only one who's been talking about wide receiver since the end of the season, okay? And I know I look weird like that even in bringing it up, but now that Deontay's gone, yeah, you can multiply that many times over. I don't know that this offense can be taken seriously or fully seriously at a contender level without just this is not a knock on George at all. George Pickens really showed us some stuff in that final month.
I think
month.
He's through the roof in potential, right?
Yes, at what he does. I still believe that there's a need for volume. There's a need for, you know, that 8, 10, even 12 catch type of wide receiver where you just go, whoa, we've got no answer for him. Not in bursts, not in splash, but just as a third down, you know, boom, let's go hit him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and most good teams, man, do have those guys. Look around the league. They got two. Philly has two, right? Kansas City got two, even if one is a tight end. Detroit is getting to two. Dallas has two. You're even looking at Cincinnati's situation. They got two and a half, maybe three. Miami's got two and a three. Like, there's a lot of good teams around the league that live in that world, DK. Like, the premier wide receiver one is an item. Yes, but defenses and teams and the way offenses throw the ball around these days, you got to have more than one target, because if you shut this guy down, and with all eyes being on George Pickens, right? Hold up real quick to Wills real quick. DK never said that. DK never said George Pickens can't be the guy. Don't start that narrative. Right. It didn't start here. We're saying as good as George B, he does need another person.
Yeah, it has to be someone. And again, I don't want to – the term possession receiver, I really hope fades from the football lexicon at some point, because it sounds so demeaning. It sounds so – oh, what was the little guy that Ben was thrown to all the time?
Swisher?
It makes everybody sound like that, okay? And that's not what a possession receiver can be. A possession receiver, I'm going to keep using the name here, Hines Ward, doesn't have to be a potential Hall of Famer, doesn't have to be somebody who's an elite blocker or anything like that, although that sure would be nice in this offense. But it's just got to be somebody who offsets George on the other side in a different kind of way. You know what I'm saying, Moan?
No doubt. And that's what Ayuk is, man. I saw somebody a second ago, he can't stay on the field. I call bull crap in a major, major way. Other than his rookie year where he only started 11 games and played in 12, he's been in 17 games except for last year, plus the playoff run too. Last year in 16 games too, 75 receptions for 1,342 yards. Now, again, they do have Christian McCaffrey. They do have Juwan Jennings. They got other guys on that team that make plays for them. I'm not minimizing that on top of George Kittle too. But when you get more weapons like an Ayuk caliber player, and I've seen Justin Jefferson, and I think that price is too rich. I just think Justin Jefferson's too rich of a price.
If you put – it's all relative, though. If you put Justin Jefferson on the same offense as George Pickens, I mean, the number of people that the defense would have to commit to them just by default would open up literally everything else for you. You know what I mean? You got to double team both of them.
Yeah, you do. And what I'm saying is this: when it comes down to a guy like Brandon Ayuk that clearly wants to come to Pittsburgh, he's at a point in his career where you're about to hit that year 5, 6, 7, 8. That's where you get those types of guys in their prime years, right, DK? And of course, you're going the best years. And yes, you're going to have to pay him in some capacity. It will be a sign and trade type of situation. But he has proven to be a playmaker type of guy. He does well with the ball in his hand. He frees up a lot of the offense with the things that he does in San Francisco. But it may end up having to be a pick. Now, here's the thing about Pittsburgh. We discussed what? They've got picks to give away when it comes down to finding a wide receiver. If you want to say, all right, George, we love you, but we need somebody to help you out. Ayuk fits that mold to me. Now, to go get another rookie in the room with a guy like George Pickens, I mean, we're asking him to do a lot when it comes down to his leadership and leading by play and the actions that he does on the field. Yes, he does, Calvin. Calvin puts Ayuk gets open through the middle, sideline, and down the field.
I have a strong sentiment for how Brandon Ayuk plays football. I believe that there's something that he can offer to a football team that's not the kind of thing that you can just look at his list of statistics and say, oh, yeah, he's that guy. He's a playmaker in the truest sense of the term. He's someone who can pull something out of nothing. And I'm telling you, every team has to have one or two of those where you just go, whoa. Here, I'm going to go back a little bit and throw out a parallel, another one for somebody. Not that they're similar in style, but they're similar in impact, yet they weren't super high up on the hierarchy. That's Antoine Randle-El.
Okay? Love El.
When I think of Antoine, I think of someone who was able to do so many different things that he constantly kept, including he's a pretty good quarterback, that he was able to do everything for you, and yet would just he'd be your scheme buster. He's the guy who threw off your entire week because you didn't have any clue as to what he'd give your offense. And I think this team could still use one of those. Being greedy here. Okay.
No, you should be. Everybody else is greedy. The good teams are greedy, DK. Like, again, Ben got flack in public because of the stuff that he said, man, about I need weapons. You know, I always go back to that. If you listen to quarterbacks, they let you know I'm only as good as my surrounding parts. Go back and look at some of the Hall of Fame guys. Look at a lot of people will make the argument. And I'm not versed in it. I'm not well versed in this, okay, DK? A lot of people will make the argument that Troy Aikman got in because of his teammates, not because of his play. You making that face right there says a lot.
That's a hard line to draw in any such situation, as we've talked about repeatedly with the 1970s Steelers. I look at someone like, boy, we got all kinds of excitement about Brandon Ayuk here now all of a sudden. That's actually pretty cool, you know? And Randy's right. The offensive scheme that the 49ers use gets their wide receivers open. Somebody's still got to do it. And as Robert points out here, no one in Pittsburgh needs to wonder what Ayuk can do because he did it on city soil, okay? 8 catches right there at Acrisure Stadium. 129 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was impact all day long against Pittsburgh. And, I mean, he's just, yeah. And then there's this, too.
He blocks angry. That is, and that's one thing that Arthur Smith requires, too, is his wide receivers be able to block. I think George will be put in positions to where he can afford to do those types of things, DK. It's going to be very fascinating. I really want to get to the only segment that matters because there's a lot that's coming through, man. And I love what we have, all the questions that are being asked right now. Starting probably with that last one from Jake right there with the Pitt Panthers logo right there. Is that cool with you, DK? You want to do that?
Yep. We'll be right back with the only segment that matters. And it's got him so confused, he's digging the bell instead of saying.
I was off right there. That's hey mode.
It's all hey mode.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
The way to get that.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
App, by the way, since the actual TV ad doesn't say so, is to open up your Apple or your Android device, go to the App Store or go to Google Play, and type in DK Pittsburgh Sports. It's free. We're not trying to rip you off here or anything. I think you'll like it. It has this show and all of its episodes on it as well. So do you have one in mind, Moan?
I do have one. There's a couple of straight up comments that came in too, man. Where was it? A halftime bell. I got to acknowledge. Yeah, I was premature. Well, I was late on the bell right there. Dolly called me an amateur. But it was this one right here. I want to start with just this statement from B-Field. B-Field had this right here. We need O-line. Yes. Brandon Ayuk trade doesn't change that. Not even one bit. Okay. You can still address that as far as the trade for him, because as it stands right now, the Steelers have the 20th overall pick, 51st, 84th, which is a third, 98th, which is a third that they traded for recently. They got a 119 fourth and two sixes. Those are the draft picks that you have right now. So you still are capable of giving up something. If we look at what Kansas City is doing right now or asking for when it comes to L'Jarius Sneed, they're asking for at least a second, okay? And if you got a player who is openly flirting with another franchise, then they may be able to actually get less for him, okay? So maybe that 98th pick and a 178th, because you're taking him off your hands for a player that doesn't want to be there. Maybe they subscribe to, hey, we want volunteers and not hostages too. So it's that side of it to me. Nothing changes with you saying that you need offensive line. You're still able and capable to get good quality offensive line, even one of those second round centers potentially, okay? There's a lot to be addressed when it comes down to it. Where you at, DK? Looking at KD's
Jeremy,
right there?
Jeremy says, if we're so good at drafting wide receivers, why do we always need one? That's really good.
I wanted this one too. You are good at them, Jeremy Fedor. But here's the thing. You also get rid of them when the time presents itself. Look at the guys that you've had, probably except for Hines, right? Every single one of them, starting with where I can start to remember Plexico. You let go of Plex before it got too late. I mean, Randall L, you just mentioned. Let go of Randall L before it got too late. Martavis was another one. You let go of him. As quick as you get him, and you let him go at the right, most opportunistic time, too. Why, if you're so good at drafting him, I think this is a different situation. It's not a young guy coming into an older room. It's needing an older guy for a younger room, Jeremy, is where I'm at. Ayuk ain't that old. But if you compare Brandon Ayuk's stats to George Pickens' stats, you'll probably say to yourself, well, there is a reason to have a Brandon Ayuk in a room. And as it stands right now, you don't have one. You need a veteran wide receiver. And I'd almost be pressed to say this. You don't need an old one either. You need one who's about to hit his stride. And that's why I'm in on saying I like Ayuk.
Yeah, I think he's more of that guy that you'd be looking at, not so much as an older like Allen Robinson when he came in at his age. It'd be more along the lines of Jericho Cotchery, Tyler Boyd, these types of guys that are in that bracket. Except that I'm not ready to throw Ayuk onto that pile. He can still really play.
Yeah.
You know, and I see the wide receiver succession list as being there's a lot of happenstance to it, like Juju's knee. Okay, who knew that was going to happen here?
We did.
Chase Claypool not being able to stay upright. I don't know who thought that was going to happen. Everybody was singing about the Claypool pick at the time it happened. And then it just didn't go well. But there's a short window there. If you show me an offense that's got a bunch of 30-year-old wide receivers, I'll show you an offense that's way too easy to defend. And that there's going to be more churn at that position. But the other part is, Moan, when you're in the draft,
yeah,
when you're in the moment and you're there picking, those guys are – they're half the prospects.
They are. It's a lot of them.
You're up there in the second round, and it feels like it's raining wide receivers on your head, you know?
it does, and a quarterback helps that also. I think Pete has a strong comment right there. That's so true. He's probably one of the only ones to leave. You say, dang, it would have been good to have E. Emmanuel Sanders was the most successful after leaving. 100% DK. Name me somebody else. Do you think that was more? No, it was him. AB got the ring, but nobody else really capitalized like that as of late.
Notice how we've left AB completely out of this conversation. He's such an outlier on every single count that you don't even bother throwing him in. You can't. AB could probably be an effective NFL receiver at age 50.
Yeah, and I can't forget my guy. I'm seeing the comments come through right now. Mike Wallace wasn't. Mike got a bag and he still was able to play, but his stat line wasn't the same after he left Pittsburgh in that same sense.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Galloway says that the Steelers are trying to get players who hurt them during the season. I mean, I could see some of that. I don't know that Patrick Queen was dominant against the Steelers, certainly not in that super cold game in Baltimore, but your point stands. You know, that there's a lot to be said for seeing with your own eyes what somebody can do there on the field in front of you here. Jake wants to know from you, Moan. Hey, Moan, can the Steelers even afford Brandon Ayuk? Can they do that?
Always can afford him. It's a matter of making sure that it's cap friendly over the course of his year. So you might get a decent signing bonus if you sign a guy like him. Like, I don't see Brandon Ayuk as a $25+ million dude. I just don't. If you can get him for high teens, maybe jumping into the 20s, because as it stands, he's someone got to agree to what you're going to pay him probably before the draft, because I'm sure there'll be conversation between his draft, his agent, the team, and the Steelers all talking together when it comes down to picks that have to go there, because you got to give compensation because he's under the franchise tag, right? And I think the franchise for wide receivers this year is right under $20 million also. So it's going to be very interesting into seeing what his numbers are. I'd offer him in today's NFL, and let's be real about this too, is the cap has gone up a lot. So numbers that we're used to seeing aren't as high as they used to be. Like, backup guys now get about $3 to $5 million. That's just the offensive line, the starting point for that. Like, Mason's contract that he got 2-3 years ago might have been a $1.1 million deal, but now I think he signed for like 3.5 or something like that as a backup. So it can be paid out, probably $21-22 million or something like that. I see Sir Diesel saying hopefully under 20. I don't know if you're gonna get under 20, but something similar.
Yeah, I think this is something that can happen for the Steelers. If that's their commitment, I notice a lot of apprehension in the community here today from people saying, like, well, hang on a second. What about center? And what about right tackle? And what about whatever? I mean, you still have a big pool of talent that's coming your way called the draft, right?
Yeah, draft. 100%.
It doesn't all have to be addressed through free agency. And in fact, it usually isn't. And speaking of the draft, Snowman says, you guys are the Steelers. Who do you take? A tackle or a center if you're at pick 20?
The mocks I've seen, which is a bunch of fluff when it comes down to it, have been everywhere from tackle to cornerback. Tackle to cornerback or even outside edge is what I've seen too. When you're asking me what do I think they'll probably take at 20, 20 is a prime spot to take a center if you need them to, because that's where you start to get those type of guys. If you think very high of Jackson Powers Johnson or any of the other guys up the middle too, Zach Frazier's in that conversation. When it comes down to it, the West Virginia kid, there are guys out there. Cedric Van Pran is the center out of Georgia who you may be able to get in the third or fourth round. And I think he's a stud. Smart as can be, again. And here's the thing. Just because they got that one by their name doesn't mean they're going to be great. There's a lot of dudes that got a third, fourth, or fifth round tag by their names, and they turn into all pros, Pro Bowl type of guys, because they get better as they come into the league. If you're asking me, I like Jackson Powers Johnson. But to say that they need a corner, yeah, they do. Okay, do they, can I say they need another tackle? Yes, but here's the thing. You don't necessarily have to go get one because you still got Dan Moore in the house. Say what you want to about him. He's still relatively cheap, and he played a lot of reps for you. He started since he was a rookie. A lot of people ain't going to like to hear that, and I'm probably going to get it in the comments right now, DK.
It's fine, man. You're the only one in this whole discussion that's actually been on one of those lines.
You've gotten
to know Dan Moore. You've gotten to know what he means. By the way, one of the interesting things that comes up here is the discussion of leadership. I was asked the other day, just casually, who is the, you know, who's going to be the leader of this team? And I said, well, listen, if it's not Russell, the offense, I mean, if I said, if it's not Russell Wilson, that's a big problem.
That's okay.
It kind of has to be. You can have Najee Harris still. He's kind of comfortable in his B role in that regard. Once or twice a year, he'll pipe up and say something where you go, whoa, that's the leader of the team. Doesn't mean it is in the locker room, right, Moan?
No, it does not, man. Does not. That take care of itself. And guys can tell real from fake when it comes down to that type of stuff, too. My thing is this. The best path of leadership for that squad offensively is Russ. Vocally being able to lead them.
Has to be. And or Justin Fields, if it ends up working in that direction for whatever reason, whether it's an injury or whatever. Yep. If Justin Fields is the quarterback, and again, I'm not trying to spark a quarterback.
Oh, no, absolutely.
If there's an injury or something that happens to Wilson, then Fields has to be your leader. I came back with, all right, who's going to lead the offensive line with Mason Cole not around? And the first name that pops up for me is Dan Moore. He has every trait that you'd want in that regard. He really does.
He does, and especially if he switches sides too. It's going to be fascinating to see how OTAs start off, DK, with right and left as it pertains to Dan Moore and Broderick Jones. Here's the other thing too. Dan can also be used as draft capital. He could be sent over in a package if you're looking at San Francisco. How much longer can Trent Williams go? He's a left tackle. With that style of offense, getting the ball in and out as quick as they do, Dan's a big athlete. I'm petitioning for a dude to go to another team, and I like Dan, but it makes sense. If you're telling me, all right, we'll send you a four and Dan Moore. Not saying that it's going to work out, but if he doesn't want to play right, you send him to a team that has an expiring, at some point, left tackle in Trent Williams. Not the same level of play, and it's also hard with their cap situation, too, for them to be in a position to re-sign Trent Williams, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. We only have a couple more minutes today here. I thought I saw a really good question here for a second. Yeah, Sally said, can we get a quality wide receiver in the third round? It's funny, we only ever talk about the top two rounds with this stuff, but is it possible? I mean, when you're talking about 15, 17, 20 wide receivers available up high, she might be right.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of them in this draft. That's the thing about it. Outside of those guys, like a slot guy, Ladd McConkey, you also throw in Keon Coleman. Roman Wilson's another guy. And I'm looking through this list of guys that's played. I like Jermaine Burton at Alabama. He's a guy that may end up in a third, fourth round type of guy that's played. Xavier Worthy, there are guys in this draft, and he's a speed guy when it all boils down. But another dude that's high on my list, love Ricky Pearsall. And ran a real good 40 out of Florida at the combine. Possession guy. There are players in this doggone draft that you like. Brendan Rice is another guy. And I think there's a sleeper out of Louisville. Jamari Thrash. I'm talking about a blazer. Can play, DK. There are plenty of dudes. Anaya Smith, another one out of Texas A&M. You can get some quality dudes when it comes down to this draft. This is a heavy wide receiver. For as front-ended as it is, I'm telling you, it's not at the wide receiver position up until about round five, probably.
Levi Smith is more in tune with me here. He just wants to know if Calvin Austin can be that guy in the slot. And I don't have that answer. CA3 would be on here screaming at me. he has a lot of confidence. He believes he's growing as a football player. He believes he's matured in a lot of different ways, and he's not just that guy. Remember who – you know, who busted everybody up so that Kenny Pickett could hit him down deep across the middle.
Yeah.
Those are exciting plays and everything, but you got to be able to do more as a slot wide receiver. I keep coming back to those possession downs. I keep coming back to, you know, needing somebody that you can trust to just catch the football and make something happen out of it. And obviously Austin doesn't have the size, I don't think, to be that guy. But we'll see. We'll see. When we come back, we're going to take care of a little bit of business here, and then Moan's got to take care of some family business.
Yeah.
Have I not said where I am?
No, you. Nobody said. You've yet
That's
to say
so
where
funny.
You are.
I'm in Newark, New Jersey, and I've got a funny story for you here. You're not going to see it because of the glare. But like about 8 feet away from this window is the New Jersey Devils Arena where the Penguins are playing tonight. When I booked the hotel, and I'm usually at this one anyway, but I happened to see the room description, and it said view, colon, none. Like, really? Like, it didn't just say, like, facing south or something? View was none. So,
oh, man.
Any Devils fans who are watching this, feel free to take that one to heart. Your arena is a none.
Oh, me, oh, my, DK. That's terrible. I see somebody mention Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis signed with the Jaguars this offseason right here. The wide receiver from Buffalo ended up signing with the Jaguars. Got a nice
business in hand. Kerry Russell with a gift. Master of Music coming in with five. Siboko coming in with five. Our friend Ryan Lytle's in with 10. Papa Ray is here with 10. You'll never guess who joined him right alongside. That's right. Chris Arkwright gets the final word of the day. Hey, Moan, how come your rookie card wasn't issued until 2019, and why are there no autographed versions?
11 years as an undrafted means you get a rookie card. That's what that is right there. I have no idea. I didn't even know that was a thing, Chris.
It took that long? Is that tops or upper deck?
I never saw it. The cards that I have are, they're not rookie cards. The cards that I have, I got this one. And mind you, I've never seen this. I got this one. I got most of them are all the same. I never had a rookie card when it comes down to it. Oh, wow. Look at that one. It's really awesome. That one and one more. That one. I never had a I never knew there wasn't a rookie card. Linemen, again, it's one of those situations. Who's marketable when it comes down to linemen? Respectfully, to all linemen, including myself.
Yeah, it's almost got to be someone who's a first-rounder at the – you know, latest second round pick, because that's where they would have built up some kind of name. Card companies don't print everybody.
No, and they do not.
When they do prospects, they're working off the same sheets that we are. You know, they're looking off the combine, they're looking off the big names and everything like that. But I didn't know you didn't have a card until 2019. That's a little late in the process.
I had other cards. Those were before 2019, but he was saying the rookie card was an issue until 2019, which is super fascinating. Yeah. It's crazy. A lot of stuff happens like that. It's weird. It's marketing and it's exposure and all those types of things, too. Never even knew that.
Yeah, that's Katie says here that my boyfriend and I are collecting all of your cards. That's all of those that you showed are rookies, she says, which is wild. Yeah, I mean, a rookie card just means it's your first card.
My first card. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say, it can't be my rookie year because I was wearing mostly black socks after like year five. We all thought we were pretty cool as players then, okay?
I get it. All right, guys. Well, we will hook up again tomorrow.
Oh, hump day.
I'll enjoy my view.
That's not a view, DK.
I'm going to see can you see it now? Look at it. That's the view.
That's
it's
terrible,
just a hockey
man.
Arena. It's the back end of a hockey arena. That's my view.
That's terrible.
That's right. That's right. Bye, everybody.
See you, good people.